Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Marley Spoon quarterly results and investor conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Fabian Siegel, CEO and co-founder. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining our investor call. So I'm Fabian Siegel, founder and CEO of Marley Spoon, and I have with me here today Julian Lange, our CFO. So this morning we released our Appendix 4C for the third quarter of our financial year, and we're pleased to use the opportunity to provide you with an update on the business performance as well as an update on funding. And at the end, as usual, we'll open the call to your questions. So together with today's 4C filing, we are happy to announce that, as outlined in some more detail in our 4C cover note, a debt funding of around $22 million Australian dollars from a reputable Silicon Valley-based lender. The debt facility has been agreed in principle between the parties and is subject to finalizing contractual documentation and satisfaction of conditions, including due diligence and formal approval of existing secured lenders. And Julian will provide further details about this pending deal later in this call. Let's have a closer look at the development of our business first. So over the past year, Marley Spoon has made solid progress in building a sustainable recurring revenue business with global operations and scalable manufacturing technology. And we feel we are well positioned to take advantage of the ongoing transition from grocery shopping from offline to online, which is likely to continue for the years ahead. And as you know from prior calls, we are in the early stages of a five-year strategic partnership with Woolworths Group, and the growth opportunities and operational synergies from this collaboration have only just begun. Now, in Q3 2019, Marley Spoon generated revenue of 33.1 million euros, which is up 38% on the previous corresponding period, or 36 excluding FX impacts. Year-to-date revenue is up 49% compared to the previous corresponding period, or 46 excluding FX impacts, with both the US and Australian segments showing strong growth, up 59% and 54% respectively, excluding FX impacts. Now, we improved our operating profitability in the third quarter with an operating EBITDA loss of about 10 million compared to an operating EBITDA loss of about 12 million in the third quarter 2018. Our operating EBITDA margin improved significantly by 18 points to minus 31% in Q3, up from 49% negative in Q3 2018. Now, the lower loss was driven by higher revenue and contribution margins, while marketing spend was flat at 10 million euros year on year. We also significantly improved operating cash flow in the third quarter with an outflow of about 6 million euro compared to an operating cash outflow of 11 million euro in Q3 2018, thanks to lower operating losses and improved working capital. At the end of the third quarter, the cash balance was about 8 million euro. Now, operational highlights of the quarter included the execution of the first marketing campaigns and cost-saving initiatives with Woolworths Group, as well as reaching record labor productivity in Australia after the rollout of our new manufacturing technology in the second quarter 2019. In Europe, we continue to lay the foundation for future growth and profitability by preparing the consolidation of our Austrian manufacturing center and launching our service in Denmark. Both were realized in October with production out of the company's sole remaining European manufacturing center in the Netherlands, which now is serving five different countries. The ability to produce multiple brands and serve various regions from a single manufacturing center is one of those benefits of our third generation manufacturing technology, which is now operational in Europe and Australia, and is planned to be rolled out in the US in 2020. Furthermore, this technology allows us to continue to innovate and provide additional choice to our customers, like the recent expansion of our menu in Australia, where we added three weekly vegan choices. Now, this expanded our menu to a best-in-class 23 weekly changing options for Marley Spoon customers. Let's take a close look at our funding package, for which I'll hand over to Julian.
Thank you, Fabian. As you know, over the past month, we've been working on various funding options to support our path to profitability, and we're happy to have found and agreed to terms with a strong, long-term-oriented debt provider, and are now tasked to close this transaction to Infection over the coming weeks. We're talking about a senior secured facility from a reputable Silicon Valley-based lender in a total amount of approximately 22 million Australian dollars. The facility, if closed, would contain the following key terms. The principal amount of 15 million US dollars to be dispersed in two tranches, of 10 million US dollars at closing of the transaction, which is contemplated for November, and 5 million US dollars in mid-2020, subject to the company meeting certain revenue and expense targets. The interest rate on the facility set at 12, plus a final payment amounting to 2.5% of the amount funded. Term is 42 months, and it includes an initial 12-month interest-only period. The lender will also be granted warrants to purchase shares and CDIs in the company up to an amount of 3 million US dollars. The express price will be equivalent to the 30-day volume-weighted average price prior to closing of that transaction. Warrants will be exercisable for 5 years from the termination of the loan agreement. They're governed by German law, subject to shareholder approval. Finally, in lieu of exercising these warrants, the lender alternatively has the option for a cash settlement of 5.75 million US dollars upon early of change of control or December 31st, 2024. Those details are, of course, also in our cover notes. As we approach the end of calendar year 2019, we also want to take the opportunity to further specify the guidance. Currently expect calendar 19 revenue to grow 35 to 40% year-on-year, with a full-year contribution margin within the lower end of the previously guided range, after we finished at 24% through the first three quarters. For Q4, actually, we expect margin tailwinds from a price increase we implemented at the start of October in Australia, as well as seasonally with lower packaging and logistics costs we usually see in the U.S. as we enter the winter months in the Northern Hemisphere. For 2020, we expect continued robust revenue growth as well as margin operating EBITDA improvements. Contribution margin actually in 2020 should improve similarly as we've seen in 2018 and 2019. Second half of this year, of 2019, should furthermore mark the point from which operating EBITDA losses in each half-year period are lower than in the prior corresponding period. So we continue to work towards turning operating EBITDA positive by the end of calendar year 2020. To give you a bit more color around the EBITDA, the key sensitivities here to understand the guidance for operating EBITDA include the rate and timing of the expected contribution margin improvement, the timing, scale of marketing investments, the time frame, and finally the time frame for realizing the anticipated growth and synergy benefits from the Woolworth Alliance. So these would be key inputs to watch as we go. With this update on our guidance, I pass it back to Fabian.
Thank you, Julian. So over the past year, we've proven our business model in Australia. We are now seeing improvements toward profitability, attractive unit economics, high incremental margins, and growing global subscriber base. And as consumer behavior in groceries switches to online, we see significant opportunities for growth and have invested in our manufacturing capabilities globally, which allows us that we can ensure we have the right foundation to support continued expansion and customization. Now, in the third quarter, we continued to see strong growth, which allows us to guide overall revenue growth for 2019 to be up to 40%. We also expect to continue to see robust revenue growth in 2020. As the business grows, we have experienced improvements in the operating EBITDA margin as a percentage of revenue to such an extent that we should now reach the turning point, also on absolute operating EBITDA losses. And as Julia mentioned, operating EBITDA losses in each half-year period should now be lower than in the prior comparable period going forward. The debt funding we have announced today resets our capital structure and brings on board a reputable long-term oriented debt provider with significant experience in the technology sector and supports our path to profitability. Thank you for taking the time this morning. And with that, I would now like to open the call to questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Owen Humphries from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
G'day, guys.
Hey,
just a quick question around the tranche two of the debt package. Just can you just flag what the revenue and margin hurdles are for that tranche two?
Yeah, we'll share that at closing of the transaction.
Right, okay. But is it within, like, how much is required in terms of growth and margin? Yeah, what's the probability of that tranche two coming through in your view?
The reason why we're quite comfortable with the structure is it touches on two metrics that in the past we've been able to control and forecast quite well internally, which is on one hand side top-line revenue. And we feel that we have a very good understanding of the seasonality acquiring customers. The user behavior has been quite stable over the past. So we feel like we have a good visibility into that, and we basically added a very good safety margin on top of what we see. Plus, it's a relatively short period, just a half year. So I think we feel there's good visibility on that metric. And the other one is the expense metrics. And in the past, again, that was one of those areas that we I think, have shown great ability to plan and meet plan on G&A. So that's why these two things are very much under our control. And I think we therefore felt quite comfortable to give this as a performance hurdle with the appropriate safety margins built in. So that's why I think we're quite comfortable with that structure.
Okay, and just quickly on Europe, it looks like Europe's the lowest margin division. It's seeing pretty anemic growth, PCP. What's required in terms of capital? Obviously, I've had the luxury of seeing that facility in action, and it's fairly robust. So maybe can you talk through what's required of the capital that's needed to bring that business or to turn that business back around?
I mean, we've seen in Europe continuous improvement on the margins, EBITDA margins in the end, but also contribution margins prior to that. So what we see is as we grow the business gets more profitable. We don't have to invest into more infrastructure. So in a way, we have all the infrastructure laid out. In fact, we have consolidated this year quite some infrastructure by moving our German and now our Austrian manufacturing centers into our Dutch manufacturing center, which, given our new manufacturing technology, is much more flexible to effectively serve all these countries and even enter a new country like Denmark without additional capex. So it makes it actually quite efficient. We don't have to invest any more capital or capex into those operations. Now, when it comes to growth, what we've seen in the past, and I think we also guided to this, is that we try to make sure that every marketing dollar that we invest for every customer we acquire, we have similar profitability or similar unit economics. And that is true for all regions. So in a way, from a marketing effectiveness or a payback on a marketing dollar invested, all those regions meet those targets that we've also spoke to in the past, which is roughly 6 months payback and 3x return LTV to CAC. And this is also true for Europe. Now, because of the competition in Europe among supermarkets, which leads to lower prices, and at Smarly Spoon, we price our product roughly on par with supermarkets, we'll see lower margins. And also in the future, we'll continue to see margins in Europe somewhat lower, which of course means if you want to have the same unit economics, our acquisition targets, our cost per acquisition targets are also lower to have the same return on invest. Now, this will also, of course, limit the channels and in which we can invest and deploy marketing dollars. So therefore, we'll continue to see slower growth in Europe. However, the growth is still solidly two digits. So I would argue, yes, we don't see the same high growth as in Australia, as in the US, but from a return on invest, we see a very similar unit economics, and we'll see a little bit of a slower growth. But long-term, as growth we switch from offline to online, the opportunity is also a huge one in Europe, and we think we're actually well-positioned to capture that over time. So from that perspective, we see that every additional user group we acquire is accretive to bringing the overall group towards EBITDA profitability as it adds to top line at the same unit economic level as in the other regions, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
We normally don't disclose the margins on the region level by quarter, but also third quarter after we talked at the half, you know, that first half was a bit more challenging because of the site consolidations. I mean, third quarter was up versus the half, so I think also Europe is moving in the right direction from that sense.
Good one. Okay. And maybe what does robust revenue growth mean? Are we talking 20 to 30%, 30 to 40%, 10 to 20%? What does robust mean?
So I think for us, we see the opportunity to grow, acquiring customers at the right acquisition cost and have this great unit economics. At the same time, we're transitioning our business in 2019 to a lower growth rate compared to the prior year in order to bring the overall group to profitability. So we didn't want to give specific revenue guidance for 2020, but it's something that we have very much under control. And so what we'll try to optimize is we try to optimize the growth to get to EBITDA profitability as quickly as possible with limited cash burn. And that kind of guides a little bit our acquisition strategy. So we didn't want to, at this point in time, already put us under guidance for 2020, but this remains a strong growth business, and this will continue into the future. So we also wanted to make sure that people have the right understanding of this business, that this is not a business where we feel growth is slowing down or there's a trend change. It's quite the opposite. We think the channel switch from offline to online and growth rate is just starting. Our acquisition costs have been trending down historically, which alludes to the TAM, the addressable market that we think is there. So we just wanted to make sure that people and investors understand that this is also in the future going to be a strong growth business as we overall bring the company towards profitability.
Good one. I'll step back in the queue. Well done, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will pause briefly for questioners to enter the queue. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Siegel for closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks so much for dialing in this morning. I think we've been talking about the funding or implementation of the debt facility for quite a while. It took us longer than we had hoped, and there was a continuous narrative, I think, since maybe over the last 12 months. I'm very happy that we now found a very good solution, and I think it really puts the company into a better capital structure that will support our path in building this business going forward. So I'm very happy about this step, and as always, if you have additional questions down the line, we'll be happy to answer. Please reach out, and we're happy to explain. So thanks very much, and talk to everybody shortly.